You are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast. This is Juan, aka P, alongside the Donovan McNam of Fantasy Football Managers. Ryan, if you're watching, it means you're on YouTube, and we kindly ask that you drop a like and smash that subscribe button. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, and all other podcast platforms. We also ask that you hit that subscribe button and leave a review. So,
wait, before we gonna do this, you're gonna pick random quarterbacks that never won a Super Bowl. I want to see. All right, we're gonna keep doing this. You can't run out of people. You can't double them up. I'm keeping track. And if those who have been listening from the jump and you're keeping track, make sure you drop a comment below or leave us a review and let us know who you've heard so far. And if you don't know, go back and listen to old episodes so you know what we're talking about.
I didn't think – I thought I was going to be able to just go, like, power right through that.
No. I'm listening to everything.
I heard you, though. So, post-draft, we have our teams. How do you feel?
I feel really good. I mean
– Well, hold on. How did you – I think that this year, I think at the same time, we experienced, like, that same feeling. And we prepared a lot.
Yeah, yeah. They say – And like I said it in some earlier episodes, if you I forgot exactly what I said, and I can't think of it right now, but if you prepare, you're not surprised.
Right.
So there wasn't a shock to me. It wasn't a shock. Some of the picks were shocking. Some of the players that I wanted that got taken, I was like bitter about, but you always gotta find a way to pivot and make that next pick.
You know what it is? Once you're getting in the groove of things, then you feel good because all of the work you've put in, you feel like, okay, I've prepared for pretty much everything that's in front of me. And obviously, we can talk about this later, how it didn't really go to almost any of the mocks that I've done. So you got to really take mocks with a grain of salt for future reference. But I remember right before the first pick, I remember completely forgetting everything that I learned. And yeah. I was super nervous. So I really wanted to share that. And I'm glad that you mentioned it because I had anxiety yesterday.
Nah, definitely. I was telling you this and I had anxiety and I was prepared and I still had anxiety. Explain it, but for me, and I think we mentioned this in our chats, for me, the draft started at 3 and we'll break down all these picks, but it started at 3. Obviously we knew what was happening 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. The draft unfolded so fast. Like those first 3 picks came in like they were on fire. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, it's my turn. And the guy that I've been mocking all year was there. And I didn't get too cute with it. And I took my dude. And from there, the draft unraveled. And I did assume some picks. And I kind of was right with those. But some guys just out of left field.
I was wondering if at all, because looking at your picks, and again, we're going to get into it later, but did you feel like stuck at any moment? Did you feel like looking back at your team that there's anything that you wish you could have done differently? Or do you feel like you stuck to exactly what you wanted to do?
Now, I was stuck. I was stuck for sure. And when we talked about it in this draft episode before this, where you didn't want to tilt. And I felt at times where I was going to tilt and I was going to just make a irrational decision, but I just called myself. I trusted my sources. I trusted my mocks, all of it. Yeah. I trusted the work that I put in. I think I'll be lying, but I've been mocking since mocks were available. So yeah, back in March, I've been mocking since March. I'm going to keep it 100. That's 5 months of preparation.
Yeah.
Some of y'all don't take it as serious as I do, but yeah, there's a reason why people succeed and some people don't. But I was definitely those guys that I was like in rounds where I'm like, I don't know who to take. But then I was just like, I just zoomed out and then I recalibrated and made my picks, man.
Yeah. So basically,
what about with you? Was there like, and maybe not a specific round. And as we go through the draft and we recap it round by round, you'll be able to see it again, but you'll let me know, hey, at this point, I like this player, but it wasn't somebody that I was like, oh my God, I needed to have him.
For our league, this was our most solid draft to date as a whole.
Overall, yeah. I think everybody did a good job overall.
Yeah. So
some better than others, but.
Right. And even those that we're referring to, it's just because that they've got their progression is taking a little longer. So, but they certainly have gotten better and it's noticeable. And I like it because that means there's more competition for the league.
Yeah. It's making the league better.
Yeah. I just felt like this league is a little more on point this time. There's some mocks that I probably didn't take as serious because I thought certain people were going to be wild cards. And I was pleasantly surprised, and I'm happy that our league is the way it is. And again, we're going to talk about this shortly with the round-by-round breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing before we hop into the rounds, the thing that I noticed ASAP off the jump was that all these running backs were flying off the board. Like,
yeah.
And rightfully so. Running backs are gold in standard fantasy football leagues in which we play in. But they were – it's almost like when – COVID hit and all these supermarkets didn't have water. Yeah, that's exactly what was happening. Yeah, like everybody's like, yo, I need this. Some people had to reach. I don't like saying reaching, but some people had to take people above ADP because again, everybody's like, yo, I need one.
Yeah. Running backs were like toilet paper. If we're referencing that time period where you can go anywhere and find them. But I think this league has always been that way though. This league has been running back heavy, and every year I'm surprised by it for some reason.
You think it's going to change, but it doesn't.
It doesn't, exactly. So I try to strategize a little differently, like, nah, there's no way there's going to be these running back runs. And then you got handcuffs going early, so you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. I really want to get into this draft. So we're going to do round by round. We're going to alternate who we say for the first round, and then for the rest of it, what we'll do is we'll just go with anything that stands out to
standouts,
us.
Standouts, yeah. Surprise picks in our opinion, stuff like that.
Yeah, and
for the first round, we'll go player by player, and we'll just give our initial reaction when we saw that.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this for the first time, we're referencing our Lights Out Fantasy Football League. It's a 12-team standard league, just for reference with this draft here.
Yeah, a league that has been going on for 10 years.
10 years.
This is the 10th year, so it's pretty deep.
Yeah, and it's big money, big money.
Yeah.
So round one, you want to start it?
Sure, man. If you're surprised with who's got pick number one, then you don't know anything about fantasy football. It wasn't a shock to me. Definitely.
I honestly thought Will would take Christian Saquon. McCaffrey. I mean,
Saquon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my doubts here and there, but when it's all said and done, I know Will is a very smart person, mm-hmm. and he knows something good when it's in front of him, especially if it's a running back. So that's why I respect Will a little bit more when it does come to fantasy. And he wasn't going to drop the ball there. So taking Christian McCaffrey, number one overall, smart pick. I guess you can say safe pick, but a safe pick that has the most upside. So it's weird. It's not really – it's hard to explain Christian McCaffrey as a fantasy football entity because he's like it's rare.
Yeah.
He's in a tier of his own. There's no tiers with him.
No. A PPR standard, C-Mac is the number one, right? Yeah. Number two, Saquon Barkley. No surprise here, really. I think in some mocks I saw some other people going higher. But Saquon, really, you can't go wrong. He's due for a bounce back year. Last year was his injury year, so you know he's going to bounce back and come back stronger. So that was almost a no-brainer for show me.
Yeah, and in a standard league, man, as much touches as he gets and upside for touchdowns, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
And all right, cool. Number three. See, this is where I kind of said the draft started, as I mentioned earlier, because I didn't know what John was going to do. Safe John would have took Zeke Elliott, which he did took. He took Zeke Elliott number three overall. And – if any doubt, I thought he might have been taking like Clyde here. And that's it. I didn't think he'd take anybody else. And maybe having a conversation with him, he could probably admit that, yeah, Zeke wasn't his pick 100%. And I could guarantee that wasn't
his 100%. Wait, who do you think he wanted to pick?
It was either Zeke or Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I wonder if he would admit that.
I mean, when he watches this.
He won't. But
he can reply. He admit it, though. I want to know what his percent of taking Zeke was. Was it 100% the whole time, or was it – did he waver?
We're going to have to file that one away and ask him.
And what happened at number four? Who picked number four?
So, number four is – why so serious? that's our guy here, Ryan. And I think I think you said Derrick Henry from last year.
Yeah, as soon as the season ended, I'm like, I'm taking Derrick Henry in fantasy football. Yeah, and yeah. I was blessed enough to have that fourth pick because I could wait to see what fell to me. Mm-hmm. And those top three good running backs went off the board. I was in a spot where I felt like, hey, I can wait and take Derrick Henry. I feel like he's undervalued, especially in a standard football, fantasy football league. PPR is a whole different monster. Half PPR is a whole different monster. But and Derrick Henry is just too overwhelming of a stud to not take him there, in my opinion.
If I was ahead of you, I would have taken him. At one spot, if I was ahead of you, I'd take Henry over Elliott. That's how strongly I feel about Henry. So,
cool. At the number five spot, right behind me, this was the biggest wild card in the whole draft. Not even just in the first round. It was impossible to predict what was going to happen here. So Nelson picking at five. I mean, I was impressed. He followed the flow and he took Alvin Kamara. You can't go wrong. There's reasons why I didn't take him, and I won't go with that because it's unnecessary. But yeah, Kamara went number five.
Yeah, I think it's a safe pick for number five. He could have gone to other guys that I like more, but if you wanna just be safe, I think that's probably your floor right there, Kamara.
Yeah.
Right. At number six, it was I'm not sure if this was a surprise, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He went to CP at six. What did you think about CEH going number six? Did you think he was going earlier, or do you feel like that was?
Nah, I thought he would fall to you eventually at eight. I'm gonna be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I just felt like in that spot, I like Clyde there. It's a little bit ahead of where I would have took him, but it's justified. He's on the best offense in NFL, and like you're swinging for the fences in the first round. It's just too big of a swing for me.
Okay. Yeah. I was hoping he'd fall to me, but we'll talk about my pick later. But I think that's a solid pick. And maybe I would consider this next pick more than CEH, but I'm not sure.
I definitely would. And jumping right into it, number seven, the way London built his team, man, I don't want to say I'm impressed because it's not that I ever doubted it, but he has a well-rounded team, probably one of my favorite teams. When we go and we break down every single team, you'll see why. Mm-hmm. He took Dalvin Cook at number seven, another volatile running back, somebody who can hit a home run whenever he gets that rock. Again, all these guys that I'm talking about, Kamara, CEH, Dalvin Cook, like I could have took them all at four, and not nobody would have questioned it. But the way I like to build my teams, it was just too much risk for me. If I'm going to take a top running back, I want to make sure he's going to be in that top and doesn't get hurt. So, but they stay healthy, and Cook can stay as healthy as he did last year, man. He's a league winner.
Yeah, and when we're talking about somebody that's not going to get hurt, it's not like we have a crystal ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to play the percentages. So, if someone's young, you know, I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm not going to teach you how to look for injuries.
But just based on track records, man, just do the best understanding.
Yeah, but that's very important in order to not forecast an injury, but set yourself up so that you're not affected by it so much.
Yeah, we talked about that in our tips, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm not going to repeat myself here. The next pick is do I say my own?
Probably one of my favorite picks in the first round.
Yeah, so the next pick is by me, and I got Josh Jacobs. And I can tell you, and I think this is probably – no, I'm not going to say it yet, but I didn't think that Josh Jacobs was going to be my pick, because in all the mocks that I did, Dalvin Cook was falling to me. Michael Thomas was falling to me.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Edwards-Helaire was falling to me. And Edwards-Helaire started – he was a second, third-round pick when I was doing mocks before, and it turned into a – all of a sudden, he's bumped up into the first round.
Once Damian Williams officially opted out, he started moving into that first round and kind of pushed everybody else back.
Yeah, and Edwards-Helaire really changed the entire landscape of this first round. Would you say so or no?
Yeah, and I wouldn't think it was Edwards-Helaire. Damian Williams changed the whole outcome of this first round more than anything.
Good point. Yeah, so him throwing himself into this kind of created chaos. And I'm glad I got Josh Jacobs. I think that when you referenced Derrick Henry and how that was the first name you thought of when the season was over last year, that's exactly how I felt about Josh Jacobs. He's a three down back. I don't care what they say about, you know, any other running back they have on that team. His coach is a three down back for a one back guy historically. And Josh Jacobs is going to shake the world this year. I love him.
Yeah, man. I'll break it down more when we talk about your team in depth, but just look what he did before he got hurt as a rookie.
I mean,
if you expect that to get worse, then you weren't watching football. And if you were watching Josh Jacobs run the ball last year as a rookie, then you know he can only get better.
Yeah, and there's a lot more to it, too. We'll definitely talk about that.
Cool. So right at number nine, and I'm going to be completely honest, we were going to have this game where we were guessing first-round picks, and I did mine. We didn't end up going through with it, but Michael Thomas at number nine is exactly where I thought he was going to go. Again, this being a non-PPR league, and it's a straight standard, wide receivers fall a little bit later. But at nine –
yeah.
Go ahead. What were we saying?
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I wonder, you showed us your picks today, right?
Yeah.
Did you have Devonta, the next one too?
Yeah. I had them back to back.
Did you feel like that was the running back bubble dead right
zone.
There?
Dead what? Zone, yeah. Yeah. Where I felt like you can justify taking these two guys here. And I wouldn't have been like, okay, that's crazy. Like, because look, think of it. The first eight picks were all running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Eight running backs off the board. So do you want to take, in your opinion, who you think is the ninth best running back? Or, hey, let me just get the best receiver in the game. Like,
yeah.
And then follow it up with the next best. So number nine, Michael Thomas, let's go, took him. Again, I'm not going to argue it. You just hope that he puts up the same numbers or close to the same numbers as last year, which are very unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get, you have stability every single week at wide receiver one.
Yeah. Yeah. Your no-brainer RB1s are gone. That top tier. You're left at that second. It's a formidable tier, but would you rather take the semi-best RB1 or would you rather take the best wide receiver one? So it's not terrible. Personally, I feel like as I've learned more, I think that strategy, I think it works better for PPR leagues or half point PPR. We can get into this another day, but I feel like a running back, RB1, is just so important. The next pick is Devontae Adams by HHM, our commissioner.
I knew he was going to do that. I knew it. I was not sure. Once I saw the draft board, I was like, it just hit me. Boom, he's taking Devontae Adams, man. And I'm like, and then when he took Adams and I started seeing his draft unfold, I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing. And I'm like, for sure, he's going to take Aaron Rodgers later. For sure.
Yeah. No, that was undeniable.
Called it like in the third round once I saw
it. I knew that was happening. Yeah. Especially remembering all of my mocks and knowing how late Aaron Rodgers was sitting in those drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Yep. Cool. All right. So we got two more picks left in the first round.
Yep.
We got Apex Pooty had number 11th pick, and I think he mentioned it to us, right, that he wanted he liked Josh Jacobs here if he was available.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he's gone because you took him. So he went to his next best available option, which was Nick Chubb, which, again, Nick Chubb is a star in my eyes. Like, I love Nick Chubb. If I had a pick at the end of the first round, that's who I would be looking at. He's in a new offense. Everybody's talking about Kareem Hunt taking carries, man. They can both succeed in that offense.
And thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's enough to go around for both. Nick Chubb is a home run hitter, but he's a three-down guy. He's a monster. I had him very high for me, too.
Yeah, great pick at the end of the first round.
Agreed. The next one is Apex Predator. And he actually told me that I sniped him, too, with Josh Jacobs. And
that's crazy.
And in a way, he had to pivot, and he pivoted instead of going for a running back with this one. He decided to go with Tyreek Hill. And with this pick, I wanted to talk to you because you're telling me about that bubble where you can take a break from taking running backs, and you have a Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams go, and you say that you understand why they went. But does this apply with Tyreek Hill too, or do you feel like he's too volatile for that 12th? Ooh,
to me, I couldn't take a Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, in my opinion, is like a third-round pick. I'm going to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
third, maybe the beginning of the third round pick. I'm not going to argue him taking that person there because I understand it. You're in the best offense. You got the best quarterback. You're one of the fastest players in the NFL. Like, you can make or break a week. I get it. But how many make or break weeks are you going to have? What happens when you give me three? What happens when you get hurt?
Yeah.
And for your first round pick, based on what was available still at running back,
yeah,
I definitely would have gone. Especially him having back-to-back picks, you could have solidified your RBs and not have to worry about it. But, I mean, yeah, you shook up his draft, and I don't know. Yeah, I still like those players, but I don't love them.
The fact that this is such a wide receiver-rich a draft, I felt like a Tyreek Hill versus somebody he could have had in the third round, Tyreek Hill gives him that maybe 30-point-a-night chance, but not every night, and it's probably – going to come with maybe some injury risk, as all players here, right?
Yeah.
And I think Tyreek Hill the last 2 years has been banged up, no?
Yeah, yeah.
So something to consider. And I'm not saying Tyreek Hill's a beast.
Yeah, yeah. I love Tyreek Hill. Just not on my fantasy team.
And maybe not 12th.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go into the second round.
And again, with the first round, we wanted to go pick by pick, but going into these next few rounds, we kind of just want to pinpoint guys that we loved, maybe guys that we were surprised with and stuff like that, so we don't drag this all along.
Okay.
So go ahead. You can jump in with your first one and see kind of who was your favorite pick or whatever you want to do with it.
I'm not going to call this a favorite pick. I just felt like my eyes opened up when I saw this one. And it was DeAndre Hopkins going in with the second pick in the second 14th round.
14th overall.
To Pudi.
And yeah,
it was surprising to me because – if you look at some of the players still on the board, and if you look at his first round pick with Nick Chubb, he could have really like put together another running back there probably. I just don't, or there's maybe other wide receivers that I like more than Hopkins. I think that I'm probably not giving Hopkins enough credit.
Yeah, no, Hopkins is good.
I just don't know what it's going to look like with Kyler.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to predict it. It's hard. Yeah. I'm sure all these experts that are predicting these stats were like, I don't know what to do with Hopkins.
Yeah,
because you can't deny the fact that Hopkins is a stud wide receiver.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's bad. I just don't know if at that point what the running backs were available, and even some of the quarterbacks, if I would have took DeAndre Hopkins there.
Yeah, but I also understand that he also probably knew I don't pick for a while after this.
Yeah, yeah. So he wanted to get his stud.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, in his defense, maybe that was his stud. So
yeah, exactly.
Hopefully it pans out.
But that's the one that kind of was – I was like weirded out a little bit because I hadn't seen that in the mocks.
Cool. There's two things for me. In the second round at pick 16 and 17 back-to-back, you had 17 and Let's Go had 16. Honestly, I thought these quarterbacks were going to be going in the first round. We play in a six-point passing touchdown league.
Yeah.
So it's a little – those passes, they are a little more valued. I knew Mahomes was going to be coming off early. I thought he would be going off in the first round. So for Let's Go to get him at 16 overall, I felt that I was a little bit value there.
Oh, hold on. Before you finish that, though, did you know that Mahomes was actually in my queue?
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we spoke about it a lot.
Yeah.
And we did like these quarterbacks. And I'm going to be completely honest. If they fell to me at 21, either of those, I was taking one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be completely honest. I was taking Lamar, Patrick Mahomes if they felt, but obviously they didn't.
was that a strategy or was that more of a tilt?
For who? For me?
For you.
No. Based on how I was building teams, I felt comfortable enough that if I get one of those guys here in the second round, I have a solid enough. It was an option. If I couldn't get Lamar, then I'm gonna pivot to somebody and I'm gonna pivot. So I had options, but
that's really dope, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I think I can tell my story now before you finish, if that's okay.
No, go ahead.
So last night, after I drafted Lamar Jackson, I started looking through my mock draft history to see how many times I mocked Lamar Jackson. And I found three instances, with the latest one being in May 8th, the first two picks, first round, I took Lamar Jackson. Second round, I took Josh Jacobs. So it actually went in reverse. I wasn't going to wait for Josh Jacobs. I don't care what's going to happen in the second round. But here we are. I just thought it was a funny story. And I
were you shocked that Lamar Jackson fell to you there?
I was shocked that no one had taken either Patty nor Lamar until a pick before me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but once Hopkins went 14th, I was like, well, this is going left.
I will also admit that as soon as Patty got sniped, what I did was I added Lamar to the queue and I started just thinking about it. There were players that I looked at here, and I think that when we get to you, you'll know players I might have been considering.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but when it got to – by the time it got to me, I didn't know that Kenyon Drake was there, bro.
Yeah.
No idea. And all the prep I did, I had no idea he was there. So I would say that maybe I would have thought about it a little bit differently had I seen that Drake was there.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, because I think all along, those are probably guys you wanted. But I if I were you, I still would have took Lamar Jackson before those guys. I'm sorry. Both of them, especially Miles Sanders dealing with that little nagging injury and Kenyon Drake, like nothing solidified yet. He's a great piece, but you want somebody that's going to give you the illest floor in fantasy football. Like, you can't name one it's safe to say he has a safer floor than Patrick Mahomes.
He does because he's a running back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I went in this with my strategy was going to be running back and one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah. All right, cool. To finish off the second round before, because I don't want to name every single pick.
Right.
Something that really surprised me is how far Julio Jones fell. He went 23rd overall.
Really shocking, though? I feel like that's probably, what is his ADP? Do you know what it's?
It was higher. It was higher than that, I think.
Let me see if I can find if relatively quickly what his ADP normally is.
Well, while you're saying that, I think getting ready to go into the third round, Will's back-to-back picks in the second round after taking Christian McCaffrey first were not shocking to me. I could have bet you $1,000 before this draft started that if Chris Carson was available at the 2-3 turn for Will, he was going to take him. I could have bet you $1,000 blindly. I knew that was happening.
That's a foregone conclusion in every draft.
Yeah. And
if you don't know, shame on you, because literally every year I try to trade for him.
And he went James Conner, Chris Carson. I love that duo to tag him up with Christian McCaffrey. Solid to start the third round.
Yeah. And I had a feeling Will was going to go running back heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a feeling. It's a really good strategy to have, to be honest. Let me see if I can identify any of them that really stood out to me. Oh, maybe that George Kittle lasted so long. I wonder why. Maybe because it's not a PPR league. But I felt like Kittle kind of went off the board after. Yeah, and I don't know. I think every other pick here was pretty much – did we talk about the third pick?
Oh, no, yeah. Let's mention it. And then, again, we're going to talk about it when we break down his team. But you can start with it because I don't want to get into in depth because I kind of want to – talk about it within the framework of his team. It's hard to.
I got you, but at least this maybe gives it context.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just surprising to see Jonathan Taylor here. And I know that he's behind arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. And he is a beast, and he did all these things in college. But, you know, the reality is that Marlon Mack is still there. You have Frank Reich, who comes from a Peterson system of coaching, and they love rotating their backs. Naheem Himes isn't going anywhere. Marlon Mack is going to get some work. So I just felt like third round was just a little too much, regardless of if maybe by season 14, he's like a league winner, right? I don't know. I guess if you know it's going to be a league winner, like I'll draft him in the first round.
Yeah, but if you got a crystal ball, then let me get that too.
But I don't know. I don't know if I'm a fan of that pick. Ask me week 13.
Yeah. I'll save my comments for when we break down the team.
Yeah.
So make sure you stick around and listen to that. Cool. So I think going the rest of this third round, nothing really jumped out to me. It's pretty self-explanatory. I've got a lot of guys going around ADP. I'm kind of scrolling down, getting into the fourth round, and I'm looking.
Oh, and then just to give references to what we did, you and I, we did a wide receiver in that round.
Yeah, I ended up taking Kenny Galladay. And you went Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, yeah. Nice. Yeah. It was either him or OBJ. I feel like I would love to see what Mike Evans will do with Tom Brady.
I mean, for a guy who's had 1,000 yards for 18 million straight seasons, what?
And he's a red zone monster. So,
yeah.
Let's go right to the fourth round. Because I feel like
it jumps out to you.
Let's see. I feel like everything's pretty much par-ish.
Yeah.
I feel like Stephon Diggs in a fourth round, that was earlier than I was seeing.
Yeah, but again, being on who took it, that was not a shock to me.
But it was a solid pick considering. Like, it wasn't as bad. I just felt like Stephon wasn't going in the fourth in any of the mocks that I did. No. But then if you're this owner, if you're Nelson, and we're telling you, don't listen to the ADP, then this is a solid pick because it's
just
yeah.
Me, I love that you were able to get another viable back in the fourth round, taking Raheem Mostert. I think for me, that kind of forced my hand to take who I did in this round, and that was Mark Andrews a couple of picks after you. Because honestly, at that point, there was running backs that I was not in love with, and I was hoping one came back to me. But then the way I was building my team, I was like, you know what? Because the one that I wanted came back to me, but there was so much value available to me in that fifth round that I ended up pivoting off of that. So I took Mark Andrews here. I'm going to be completely honest. In every single mock draft that I did, Mark Andrews never fell to me in the fourth round. Never, ever. So it was not somebody that I was expecting to even have a chance to draft. So it was like, oh, wow, Andrews is here. I'm snatching him.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't see that move for you, a tight end here.
I didn't either. I said I was going to wait.
Yeah.
But again, when one falls into your lap,
yeah,
it's like when gold falls into your hands, you're not going to throw it away for some copper.
Yeah, like, I'll take both.
Or Cooper.
Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else that stands out here. Le'Veon Bell going in the fourth to me.
Typical ADP.
Yeah, it's typical ADP. Will you be able to live with yourself if he doesn't do anything for you and you got him in the fourth round?
To me, my golden rule is don't draft anybody that is coached by Adam Gase. And I will never – you can't give me Le'Veon Bell in the 10th round. I'm not taking him because he probably ain't going to start on my team anyway. So, yeah. I'm sorry, man. If you watched football last year and you didn't learn anything about Le'Veon Bell and you still think he's a value even in the fourth round, I mean, maybe you see something I don't see, and hopefully he does turn back into that. But for me, nah. I'm good. And
another thing that was really surprising for me was Apex Predator going with another wide receiver here. Historically, he's always rounded out his running backs quicker. His teams were always solid because he's had that running back depth, the three running backs, one in the flex. And this was his third wide receiver. I love Juju. I think Juju's a great player. But again, I value a running back a little bit more here. And I'm not sure if three wide receivers – again, he could turn out to have a real dope team. I was surprised. I was surprised.
Yeah, based on how he likes to format.
Exactly. Because yeah. I don't think – I'm not saying has a terrible team, but it was surprising to see him take him there.
Absolutely. I get what you're saying.
And he hate me, of course. if you look at what he did here, it's kind of going to foreshadow what he's going to do the rest of –
Yeah, when we talk about his team in its entirety, we'll be able to really – But once I saw how he was drafted, I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing.
Exactly.
And I wasn't mad at it, but I'm like, man, I hope it works.
He was bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
– He took who he wanted, man. That's it. All right, we can jump right into the fifth round, man. And I'm going to just start with my pick, honestly.
Go for it.
52nd overall, I was able to get Allen Robinson the second.
Unbelievable.
20 picks later than his ADP. And, again, I understand his QB problems. I get it. I don't love his QBs either.
I had him last year. I ain't have a problem.
Yeah, and I seen Juan root for him, and I'm like, yo, he looks kind of nice. For me, I took talent over who's throwing him the ball. You got to trust the talent at the end of the day. And for me, Allen Robinson, in the fourth, where you were picking between guys like DK and Cortland, who's going to be fighting for targets. All these guys are going to be fighting for targets with other prime receivers in their own teams. There's nobody fighting with Allen Robinson. If you can name me another Bear receiver, I'll wait.
I could, but.
I know, but we play fantasy, but. I bet you some Chicago Bears fans can't even name the other one. I'm talking about that are actually startable in fantasy football.
Yeah, real solid.
And you can't, and not even their tight ends. There's nobody else as a receiver that's viable. No other wide receiver on that Bears team will be starting in somebody's fantasy football league unless you play in like a 20-team league.
Well, Anthony Miller.
Yeah, but who's starting him, really?
No, but you got to give him a few weeks.
Oh, no, I love Anthony Miller. I love Anthony Miller as a flyer.
He'll probably be startable.
Yeah, but he's a flyer, man. You're hoping. Yeah.
He's a flyer, exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to hope at Allen Robinson.
No, he's the guarantee.
Give me 130 targets in the fifth round. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. The pick that went right after you.
Yeah. Oh my God. Again, Nelson.
Yeah, Nelson. But look, it's not the pick on anyone here. But
oh no.
But I've never seen Brady go that early. Pick who you like. But I just feel like maybe if this is probably where a few of those ADPs and things like that, like just knowing exactly where Tom Brady's been going, this is probably would have helped because he could have gone easily like 3-4 rounds later.
Yeah, and you could have got your man. You just gotta wait.
Yeah, and you would have gotten your guy. You could still jump up and get your guy, but this is like a leap
of faith. But hey, yeah. I love Tom Brady's situation this year,
and I like the conviction too. You know, let me go get my guys.
But, all right, cool. Finishing off that round, more running backs came off the board. I could say
what I did. Rojo, honestly, I had him in a lot of my mocks, and I got off of him for a little bit. I remember last year when the year was fresh off, I said Rojo was going to be on my team next year. And then I got off of him for a little bit because they drafted Vaughn.
Yeah, and everybody was – all the Keyshawn Vaughn,
Michaels. McCoy. Then they got McCoy, but I'm hearing McCoy's more of a – McCoy's even saying that this is Rojo's backfield.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'd rather take a flyer on someone that's on an offense with two Pro Bowl wide receivers, three arguably great tight ends, a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, and a great and up and coming offensive line. Yeah, just give me that running back. I'll take it.
And to get him in the fifth round.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy, man.
It was either him or Singletary. And if Montgomery wouldn't have gotten hurt, I would have considered him.
Yeah.
It was either him or Singletary for me, and that's pretty much what I was thinking.
Yeah. Cool. Right into the sixth round. So let me see who stands out for me. Again, knowing what he hate me was doing, I could justify his pick. He went Marlon Mack here, mm-hmm. and it makes sense to me based on his draft strategy. And as we go into his team, we'll be able to break it down a little bit more, but it makes sense to me. So I know how he thinks, and I'm not questioning that because I kind of know what he's trying to build.
Yeah. Because
at that point for me, and not to cut you off,
no, sorry.
At that point for me, being in the sixth round, I was struggling. I think I only had two running backs at that point. I was like, I need a running back really, really bad. And I'm like, I'm taking what I think could potentially be a home run, and I took J.K. Dobbins here.
You don't like Sonny Michel?
What? Is that a real question? I wouldn't I wouldn't play Sonny Michel with Sonny Michel and Madden, let alone in fantasy football.
No, I like Dobbins. I like the Dobbins pick.
Yeah, I just had to swing for the fences, man. After having two top-tier running backs, I think I needed somebody who can potentially – just fill in and here and there. I'm not worried about it. I wish I had a little bit more depth, but based on how I built my team, I'm not mad with the all around.
Yeah.
What else you want to go through?
I honestly said two things that stand out. I don't want to really like dwell too much on them. We notice here that round six, with picks 6 and 7 consecutively, we had two quarterbacks go off the board, and that was that next tier of quarterbacks. So Kyler and Dak went off the board to London and CP.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you, I really love that Kyler pick.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know. I'm not one for going too. Like, if I'm not gonna pick one of the elites, I'm not doing this.
Yeah,
right. But I thought it was a solid pick. And Deshaun Watson, there it is. Is that the next tier? Would you consider that the next tier?
I kind of feel like they're all in the same tier for me. It's Kyler, Dak, Deshaun, Russell. Yeah. Russell went a lot earlier than I thought he was going to go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all the quarterbacks right there.
Yeah. And then for those that, you know, you have to – yeah. I thought that round was – those quarterbacks going, I felt like these next rounds were going to be crucial.
Yeah.
You want to get into 7?
Cool. Yeah, jumping into the 7th round.
I still
don't have a quarterback at this point.
Yeah, let me do this one for you real quick.
Go ahead.
I feel like – you got value here.
Yeah, I never drafted this guy ever in any of my mocks, nothing. I'm going to be completely honest.
This is a value round right here. I think that every single person, I think maybe there's 2-3 picks I don't really like here, 4 picks I don't really like, but Kerryon Johnson to me is a pretty solid pick because Will doesn't draft him here to start.
Yeah, in the seventh round.
He drafts him here to see what's going to happen there. Swift, Johnson supposedly healthy, and considering what's left in the running back position, he's a starter right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Gallup pickup, but the Deebo Samuel fourth in the seventh round, I love that pick.
Yeah, I didn't even I was able to snag him up. I knew what Deebo was about. I love his name. And honestly, I never saw him around this area for me in mocks to be able to have a chance to get him.
Never.
But based on how the Niners play and how they want to attack, and he was primed before he got hurt. He was going early, like in the fourth, fifth. He was around those Tyler Lockett's and all of those guys before he got hurt. So for him to fall down where he did, it was shocking to me.
Yeah, and then you got other guys that are quality guys that are falling too. You had Keenan that fell to the seventh.
Yeah, Keenan, that was a great value in the seventh round. I think.
Marquise Brown.
I love Marquise Brown.
London, you sniped me.
I know you said you wanted to target him, especially being able to stack him with Lamar Jackson. That would have been crazy.
Yo, as soon as I got Lamar, I put Marquise in my queue, but I felt like I was going to be able to play it a little safe, and I gambled a little too much. I should have just taken him. But that was a great pick. I feel like this was a round of a lot of good picks.
Yeah.
Will Fuller closing out the round 7 was an amazing pick too. I love that pick.
Yep.
Round 8. And we have Drew Brees go off the board on this one for the first pick. We have 2 quarterbacks go, actually, Ryan.
Yeah, Brees. And then I took Carson Wentz 9th in that round. At that point, I felt like I needed to try to get somebody that I felt could potentially be able to get into that top 5. But not having to pay the price for a top 5. And Carson Wentz, man, as much as I don't like him because I am a Washington fan, I mean, he's consistent, man. As long as he can stay healthy, the man gets it done with his legs. Got a cannon.
He's a stud.
I think a lot of people in this round got a lot of good picks. Brandon Cooks with True, that was a great pick. Zach Moss, I knew you were eyeing him, but he hate me.
Latavius Murray.
Murray, yeah.
Zach Moss.
Yeah, I loved and I hated Pootie double dipping with Madison and Murray here because I was getting ready to take Alexander Madison in the 8th round and he took him a round before me. I'm like, you motherflower.
Yeah, nah. And Pootie was doing that. And then you got HHM Zach Moss sniped me on that one.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna take Madison early in the 8th, just being all quiet, and then this man comes and snipes him a whole round before I wanted him. I'm like, okay, cool, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I guess the picks that I don't love from here real quick is Jarvis Landry and Matt Breida. Jarvis, I love him in the PPR here.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit earlier too, but I don't really love him here.
Yeah, both Matt Breida and Jarvis, I feel like, are PPR guys.
Yeah.
That really aren't – I mean, they're always good enough, but you don't win with good enough players in fantasy.
And then Breida can't stay healthy, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's fast.
Yeah, and he's good with the ball in his hands, but there's a reason why Mostert is now the starter in the 49ers, and they let Breida go.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the 9th round.
Cool. Yeah, and again, man, here, I'm over here clawing for some type of a running back depth, and if John wouldn't have took Tony Pollard here in the 9th, I was getting ready to snatch him up. But I was telling him, I'm like, yo, he's taking Tony Pollard here. I know for a fact. If he doesn't take him here in the 9th, he's going to make a mistake.
Yeah,
and he did exactly that.
I see you took AJ Dillon and
forced my hand to take my handcuff because at that point I had to make sure. And who knows if AJ Dillon's the handcuff? We don't know. It's all speculation at this point. But I had to have some type of backup in case anything happened to Aaron Jones. I need to have a fighting chance.
I'm gonna tell you I like 2 picks, consecutive picks too.
I know exactly who you're looking
at. Chase Edmonds and Damian Harris.
I love those picks, man.
Those are really good picks by CP in London. Damian Harris, especially because he probably has a starter in the 9th round.
Yeah.
And Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, the seventh, eighth, ninth round was like the superb handcuff round.
Yeah.
Where all of them were going.
Yeah. And then you know what I did here? I wasn't, I can't tell you how many mocks I did, but I probably have a medal for how many I've done in Yahoo. And I can tell you that I didn't draft a kicker this year. This was the first year in like 4 years that I wasn't going to draft a kicker early. I wasn't going to care. But when I saw in the ninth round that every single kicker was still there, meanwhile, I pretty much had what I wanted on my team. And I said, if I can solidify a person that was going to be projected 10 points a week on a high scoring offense, should I go for the kicker that's going to give me 10 a week, or should I go for the wide receiver too that's maybe going to break? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, so for me, I said, let me just go with Justin Tucker here.
Yeah.
And potentially start a run. Because yeah. I always want to try to start a run.
Yep. And to finish that ninth round, of course, he hate me going Aaron Rodgers. Didn't shock me when he took him there. I was just waiting to see how long he was going to wait to take him.
Yeah.
To jump into the 10th round, I think this is where we first see the first sign of somebody taking a defense. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot earlier than I thought. I've never been a believer in taking defenses, but that's neither here or there. But they did start runs because in that round, 1, 2, 3, 4 defenses were drafted.
Yeah.
So they definitely inspired. And not only did P inspire me when he took Justin Tucker, because right next after that round, I took Harrison Bucker.
John.
Yeah. And then John right after took Zerline. But I know for a fact, I had this whole strategy where I was going to be streaming kickers the whole year. I had a whole map. Once I saw Bucker was still there in the 10th, I said, you know what? Forget that map, man. Yeah. Forget that plan.
I mean, are you going to take John Brown and hope that he's involved in offense like he was last year and maybe get like 9-8 points a game? Or are you going to take a Harrison Butker? Or are you going to take a Justin Tucker who probably are going to get you 10 points a week?
Those are like RB2, wide receiver 2 numbers at your kicker position. They distinguish you.
A lot of fantasy shows tell you to fade kicker, and a lot of fantasy shows want to get rid of the kicker per position. But as long as it's there, there are kickers that will get you 10 points a week at least.
Max. And why not attach yourself to two kickers who are in the highest scoring offenses in the NFL?
Yeah, and I know why John did Zerline, because I know John was going to pick either Butker or Tucker.
Yeah. Yeah. He might have gone there, and we probably took it around right before he wanted to.
Aside from that, I don't see anything else. I took Darrell Williams, and I'll tell you why. I feel like a lot of people feel like DeAndre Washington's the chic pick or the anybody handcuff. Else. I'll tell you right now, they love Darrell Williams and his skill set over there in KC. And if it's not CEH, it's going to be Darrell Williams.
Yeah, if anything happened, that was a straight boss pick there. That's, again, swing for the fences in the 10th round. It's not that much of a risk. Everybody knows, because they've said it, that Darrell Williams is the backup running back to CEH. Mm-hmm. And if CEH can go 5th overall, how is Darrell Williams falling to the 10th round?
Yeah.
5th overall. Shocker.
Yeah. And, you know, COVID-proof, I see you. CP, I see you with the Hayden Hurst pick. I really like that pick. I love that pick. So let's go on to the next one, round 11. Unless you had anything else for
round 11. No, I was good there. I was good. That was all kickers and defense in that round.
Round 11, we have some surprises here. We start off with the rookie, Joe Burrow, with Will.
Yeah, that's his number one quarterback.
And that was his first quarterback. But I feel like Will maybe knows something we don't know, and maybe he feels like Burrow could boom this year. Because he has weapons on offense. And maybe he wanted to just solidify, rather than going for the ADP, he wanted to solidify his quarterback and get his guy at least.
Now, that was a solid pick there. For me, a surprise pick was – and I actually like it. I just felt like he went a lot earlier because I was hoping to take him later in the draft was Nelson taking Carlos Hyde.
I love that pick.
I love it. I love it because it's a smart pick. I was just hoping he fell a little bit later to me. So I was kind of mad.
CP with Sterling Shepard. I really like that pick too. London with Boston Scott. I love that pick. I think Boston Scott, especially in PPR, is going to make some noise. And I got Jared Cook here. I could not believe it in round 11.
11th round. That's wild.
Can you believe that?
I never saw him fall that late in any mock.
And then I saw that you also got yourself a little stack option with Jalen Reagor.
Yeah. Well, with the news breaking out where he's hurt. But he'll be all right.
Are you really going to start him the beginning?
Yeah. I just want to see what unfolds. They got a lot of hype around him. They've been saying he's been killing it. Yeah. And I got his starting quarterback. So why not try to start him?
Yeah. And HHM, I'm sorry to cut you off, bro. But
no, you good.
HHM, I see you with Josh Allen. I knew you were going to pick him.
Hashtag Bills fan.
And I can tell you that there's two certainties every year with our league. One is that Will will end up with Chris Carson. And two is that Apex Predator is going to end up with Jamison Crowder.
Facts. And then he'll release him in week 11 and then he'll go off.
No, he's going to try to trade him to somebody. He's going to try to package four people on his bench for a stud RB2. Nah, I have a lot of respect for how he plays the game. I like Jamison Crowder. The only problem is that he kind of burned me last year, so I'm a little jaded. Let's cool. go to round 12.
Yeah, again, these are all swing for the fences, home run picks, stashes. At this part of the draft, there's no starters being drafted for the most part. Again, more kickers, more defense. For me, I took Benny Snell here.
Ooh,
another chance to try to add a little bit more depth to my running backs, being seen that he's going to be the backup running back to James Conner in a offense with the Steelers, who love running the ball, have a great offensive line, and their head coach likes sticking with one running back. So if Conner goes down as he has before, I think he can fill right in.
Mm. I like Benny Snell. I like that pick a lot.
Oh yeah, and you took Mecole Hardman in this. Oh my lord, Hardman, again, man. Attaching yourself to big offenses.
Exactly, and he's not a rookie. He's already had a little bit of a rapport with Patty. Let's see what happens. This is the round you do this. Yeah. And I can tell you that Mecole Hardman, in a lot of the earlier mocks that I did, was going really early. I never thought that he'd be here.
Yeah, he'd go around like 10, 11.
Yo, I've had him go earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had him go earlier. I got a Jimmy Garoppolo sighting here. I also have a Cam Newton sighting, and I think this is an amazing pick value. This is going to be one of the big picks of the year, potentially.
Yeah.
12th round, you get a Cam Newton, and I don't even think that's a starting quarterback.
No, I think that might have been his backup.
I think that's
Russell Wilson, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so he has Cam on his bench. That's solid to me. Another one that I really like is I see you, HHM. I see you, Will Lutz. I see you. Let's go to round 13.
Yeah, let's get through these quick. We got more defenses getting drafted, more guys trying to swing for the fences. A couple of rookies in here. You took Joshua Kelly, who I really like.
I really like him a lot.
Jerry Jeudy came off the board here in round 13. And again, Apex taking Gio Bernard in the 13th round.
Yo, yeah.
Good old reliable.
Yeah, but who – he has Mixon, so
– Yeah, no, in case he gets hurt, yeah.
Getting your handcuff in round 13 is actually a win.
Yeah.
So I think well played, and then let's go to the 14th round, and Christian Kirk, solid pick.
Yeah, Bryce Love, I loved. Yeah, I loved Love.
And then we have a free agent getting drafted.
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
And no, two. I guess two of them.
Oh, Devontae Freeman and Antonio Brown. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see whether Antonio Brown is he here? Is this here? No.
In the next round.
Okay.
Took him.
Yeah, but Ruggs, I think, was the pick of round 14 here.
Yeah, I like that. And Hockenson. I didn't think he dropped that low.
Yeah, Hockenson is solid.
That was somebody I was targeting, being that I was going to wait at tight end. But to go in the 14th round, that's insane.
Hey, I love all these picks. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Pudi with Daniel Jones. I love Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I was if I waited at quarterback, I was going to be looking at him.
Yeah, and then I see who you got, and that's, that guy right there.
Big Ben.
I know what he's kicking like. He's a beast. He won me a championship.
We just need that elbow fixed.
Let's go to round 15. We started off with Malcolm Brown, who's one of like 17 Rams running backs. LaVisca Chenault, I see that. I'm not sure what he's going to be. Is he going to be Cordero Patterson, or is he going to be a Debo Samuel, a bigger Debo?
Yeah.
And then we got kickers, and I got Alan Lazard as my Mr. Irrelevant here. I like him. I think he's a number two receiver. He's just
– Well, we got one more round after that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, but that was your last position player pick. So.
Yeah, pretty much. But I like Alan Lazard. I like that pick.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just to finish off with this last round, we got Noah Fant, Lamar Miller, who potentially could do something if they need him.
Anthony Miller, I think.
Anthony Miller, who I liked as well.
Solid value right there.
Yeah. I ended up taking my guy who I've been preaching to. I know – I've been talking to P about it all summer. and it's Chase Claypool, man. If this guy gets a chance, they've been saying he's like they. You know what I saw his nickname was? Dang, I forgot. You know how they call Megatron, Charles Johnson, Calvin Johnson, Megatron.
Yeah.
They called him like Golden Tron or something like that. Like he has the same measurables as Calvin Johnson. And I'm not comparing him to Calvin Johnson, but to somebody who could be the same type of receiver as Calvin Johnson on a team with Juju and Deontay Johnson and Big Ben in that offense, man, if he gets a chance, he can be – what was that guy a couple of years ago who was on the Steelers?
Oh, big play guy.
Yeah.
HHM's favorite player.
Yeah, yeah. I can't – his name is slipping me right now. Yeah. But
Bryant.
Yeah, Martavis Bryant. Yeah. He has a chance to be able to eventually become a Martavis Bryant type of player. And if I can get him with the last pick overall, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. I see Ryan Tannehill. Great pick here. Matt Gay. Yeah. I think that this pick right here is a low-key, really solid kicker right here. Matt Gay. That's why pay some time.
But they're saying the Bucks are saying that they're trying out other kickers as well. So he might not even make the team.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's news to me. And I don't know. We'd have to look. But is this the first time in our drafts, in our drafts history, that we had – a running back and a handcuff go one and the last pick?
I don't know. Maybe. It has to be.
I've never
seen that. You can take your handcuff to the first overall pick with the last pick is pretty solid.
Yeah. So that was round by round. How do you want to approach this next part?
We can either because I kind of want to go fast. Maybe we can go a quick overview of everybody's team real quick as a whole.
Okay.
I want to spend like maybe 10-15 seconds on everybody's team, kind of go through.
Okay.
And then go from there. So we can start from the top and we can start with John's team.
Okay.
And then go from there and really just give what we thought he was thinking as he was drafting his team, how it kind of came out, what we love, honestly, what we love and what we don't really love.
Okay.
So for me, I'll start it off really bad because this is easy for me. And me and John keep going back and forth in the chat about this.
Mm.
And it's not to say that I don't like Jonathan Taylor. His team, his running backs are Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Tevin Coleman, Pollard, Chris Thompson, and that's it. Zeke, which is a stud.
Just name his starting lineup.
Okay, so we got Deshaun Watson, Kupp, Ridley, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor, Kelce, and Gallup. That's his starting lineup. And I love the way his team is built.
Mm-hmm.
But I would personally rather have three running backs than three receivers. And the fact that he took Taylor, I love Taylor as a pick. He took him in the third round first, which I didn't really agree with.
Mm-hmm.
If Taylor was in his flex, then I could without a doubt say I love that pick. Because you don't have to rely on Taylor to get you production every single week. And you're going to have to wait for it. You're hopeful that eventually he gets that starting role, which maybe he will get it. But you got to hope that week one out the gate he can give you those numbers because he's your number two running back.
Yeah,
That's tough to deal with.
I think he has a solid team.
Yeah.
I wish I had access to the crystal ball he has for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to me, you're fading early wins by banking on an unknown like that, early like that. Because he could be a guy that could be a champion, right? A running back that's top in the league. But he has Marlon Mack still. Again, I talk about that backfield. There's just way too much going on for him to be my second running back. I wish that would have been a flex guy for him.
Absolutely. I would love that pick as a flex guy.
Yeah. If that was a flex guy for him and maybe, you know, he doesn't take whoever he took and he has that there, good. It's a well-rounded team. He did this last year where he drafted a well-rounded team. It's not a terrible team. I think it's going to make noise and – we'll see how far he gets. I'm not going to toot any more of his horns. I'm not giving John any more credit. No, I'm kidding. But I think it's a solid team.
Cool. We can go right into he hate me.
Okay.
And I'll start with it, man. Right off the bat, as soon as he took Davante Adams, I kind of knew what attack he was going to have. He has Josh Allen, Adams, Odell Beckham, Eckler, Montgomery, Ebron, and Henderson. And the problem with this team for me is he's hoping that these running backs pop off. First off, David Montgomery is missing, I think, the first 2 weeks of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
At least the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a 4 week in, 2 to 4 weeks. So best case scenario, he only misses two and he's ready for week one. Mm-hmm. So he's banking on that. But then to have Darrell Henderson Jr. in your flex, I couldn't live with that, honestly. He does have some maybe big splashes on his bench with Hunt, Mac, Moss, and Love.
I think he has one of the best benches.
Yeah, I do love that. But again, after Odell and Adams, he literally has no wide receiver depth.
Yeah.
None. He has Anthony Miller and Antonio Brown. Of course, Anthony Miller has a chance to pop off, but it's too if Adams goes down like he did last year, and if Odell Beckham, any type of injuries, they're both coming in healthy, but you got to prepare to one of those guys going down, and I think he's going to have to make a trade or do something to get a receiver, and maybe he has all that RB depth to do that. So,
yo, this owner right here, HHM, always has something up his sleeve. So, remember this team, everyone. Remember how we explain his team, because maybe at the end of the season, we'll name what everyone's team is and then compare. But I have faith that he has something in mind. Maybe I wouldn't have taken Montgomery, but that's just me, and my strategy was different. Ebron, I liked Ebron. I just felt like there was a few other tight ends that are probably going to get more opportunities. Big Ben has traditionally not really been a tight end guy. Maybe you got tight ends that'll eat once in a while, but Big Ben is going to sling it to his running backs and wide receivers. So I love his bench. I think he has one of the most stacked benches. People are sleeping on Marlon Mack and Zach Moss. I agree with you, Daryl Henderson. Maybe a head scratcher. He's probably the starter, though.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are big on Cam Akers, and we got to pump the brakes on these running backs. These rookie running backs, there's no preseason. They had never played in the NFL. Some of these guys are probably not going to be starting like you think they are.
X, let's go right into your team.
Okay. So with my team, again, I didn't go with any set. Well, the one strategy I did go in with, well, I said I was going to go running back and Patty. And it changed. So I have Lamar Jackson, Mike Evans, Tyler Lockett, Josh Jacobs, Raheem Mostert, Jared Cook, Ronald Jones, DeAndre Swift, Brandon Cooks, Darrell Williams, Mecole Hardman, Joshua Kelly, Ito Smith, Alan Lazard, Justin Tucker, and the Philly defense. My thinking here is I love when you're playing a team and you know that you have to contend with a quarterback that's probably going to put 30 points up against you. Maybe more.
Yeah, you sweat a little more when you got to play against someone.
Yeah. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to round out my team. I wanted to make sure that I had running back studs, but I wanted to make sure that my team was well-rounded and anchored by my quarterback and my running back. So the fact that I have Josh Jacobs and Lamar Jackson every week, hopefully that's going to be like, man, this is going to be a tough week for me. And then Tyler Lockett and Evans are ultimate home run guys. I mean, do we really need to say what Evans' stats have been the last 6 years? And then Brandon Cooks on the bench, and DeAndre Swift is a talent. I know Kerryon's the starter now. DeAndre Swift has probably got to get up to speed, but he's going to make some noise on that team, and he doesn't require a lot of touches for it either.
Yeah.
And then we talked about my other picks before, and then I just really started thinking about what handcuffs I can get that will immediately jump into an offense that's productive. The Falcons, you know, they score every year. They have a great quarterback and their offensive line is changing. And if Gurley gets banged up, CP.
You mean he's not hurt already?
There it is. Exactly. So, maybe there's going to be a pitch count for him. Who knows? But I know that Ito Smith is young. He's a great running back. I love having him there. And then Alan Lazard, man, for my last pick. I couldn't have done better with my last pick because he's the number two guy. And we already know what wide receiver one's do in Green Bay. So, again, I'm not praying for an injury, but if it just so happens, then I have Aaron Rodgers' favorite target.
Facts. I agree, man. I got nothing to add. I love the way your team is built.
Thank you, man.
Let's go.
Our guy here.
Oh, his team. So his team, man. Obviously, I love Patrick Mahomes.
Did he get the highest grade aside from you?
Me and him both had A minuses, I think.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through his real quick. It's Patty Mahomes, Michael Thomas. That's deadly. T.Y. Hilton, Le'Veon Bell, Devin Singletary, and Gronk. Melvin Gordon III. Then his benches, John Brown, Higbee, Landry, Emmanuel Sanders, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Freeman, Royce Freeman, N'Keal Harry, and he has no kicker, and then he has the Minnesota defense. I just felt like every pick he made, every name like that I roped off, I liked less every time I went to the next name.
Facts. Facts. If we're judging quarterbacks and receivers, I love this team.
Oh, exactly.
He has literally every single running back I would have not drafted.
I like Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I like Devin Singletary, fan, too, to root fan. For him. But I wouldn't have him on my fantasy team, man. You already know. I prefer Zach Moss over Singletary based on just where they're going. But Le'Veon Bell, Singletary, Melvin Gordon. I'm sorry, man. It would never be on any of my teams, and this is me personally. Melvin Gordon, for sure. I hope he does something and think, but
yeah,
I don't know, man.
And I know Gronk is a popular name for tight ends, but you might want to see exactly what the game plan is with him, because they're pretty stacked over there at that position.
And he has the worst, probably the worst RB depth, or one of the worst. No, actually he does. He has three solid running backs, but after that, it's curtains for
his own. He has his depth is limited to a person in the free agent list who hasn't been signed by a team yet.
Yeah.
And a guy that's maybe the third running back on his team now, will he even see the field?
Man, he might not even make the team.
So,
I love Patrick Mahomes, Michael Thomas. That's your floor every single week. That's solid. You have a chance to win every single week with those guys. So you're safe on that end. But I don't know how you're going to get points everywhere else. That's my question.
Yeah.
You have a solid team though. Overall, I think I don't hate the team, but I don't love it.
Your point distribution, where is it? Who's the next one?
CP.
Let's go to CP. CP, let's go to his team. So Dak Prescott, a DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, who to me was one of the most – this was one of the value picks of the draft.
Yeah, he got him really late.
CEH, Drake, Hayden Hurst, Todd Gurley, Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson, Chase Edmonds, Sterling Shepard, Jonnu Smith, Adrian Peterson, Breshad Perriman, Matt Prater, and the Denver defense.
Yeah, I like his RB depth a lot. I think that's my favorite thing about this team. Again, these little receivers, I love DJ Moore, and they're saying a lot of good things about him, so maybe that pans out. But DJ Moore in a new offense with a quarterback.
He was too expensive for me.
Yeah, and then Keenan Allen, again, he's playing with your boy Tyrod Taylor. He was a value, so you had to take him there. But after that, you got Sterling Shepard and Breshad Perriman. Like, what's happening on bye weeks?
I like Sterling Shepard, man.
I could see CP making a trade later in the year.
He always does.
Having to get another receiver. He's going to have to trade one of these running backs and get another receiver, without a doubt.
CP, I feel like we're here every year. You do the same things with your teams. You do this excellent running backs. I think you always nail it with your quarterback. Your tight end. You can't pick a tight end for shit. I think you have a good one with Hayden Hurst, though. I like Hayden Hurst. He was on my queue.
Yeah.
I like his team. I think the Breshad Perriman pick was because he's a Jets fan. So, I don't want to disrespect the Jets, but.
No, you could. It's fair.
I like Perriman, whatever. And then AP was a really good pick. I like that pick.
Yeah.
So he got some stock in the Washington backfield. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, but it's a starting running back if he guesses right. He has two out of like seven that the Washington football team has.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go right into Apex.
Apex.
I'll get right into it, man. I don't love this team at all. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know what he was doing here at running backs. After Joe Mixon, he's got Philip Lindsay, James White, Justin Jackson, Gio Bernard. I just don't trust Philip Lindsay as a second RB. That's almost the same argument I'm making with John's team, where it's if Philip Lindsay was my flex guy, I'd be a little bit more satisfied. But as my RB2, instead of taking a Juju, for me, I would have probably took another running back. Mm-hmm. To have Tyreek Hill and Thielen and Juju and Will Fuller, like, that's overkill. He's going to have to try to find somebody that'll give up. Maybe him and CP make a trade where they trade a receiver for a running back.
You over here, are you their agent? Are you
guys, hey, come and see me if you need trade advice. I could see these two because one is wide receiver heavy, one is running back heavy, and they both have holes they can help each other with.
I know what Ricky's going to say. He's going to say, I'll send you
Jameson Crowder.
Noah Fant. Justin Jackson, No, hold on. Who's this? This is him, right? Okay, so he'll say, I'll send you Noah Fant, Justin Jackson, and Jameson Crowder.
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
Yo. And then he'll end up trading Jameson Crowder for AP. Cool. You got anything else on this?
No. I will say that I like Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I like him.
I like Christian Kirk a lot. And Hunter Henry could be a sneaky good tight end. I'm not sure if where he got him, if it was worth it, but it's a decent team. I wouldn't call it a terrible team. Obviously, I think Yahoo felt like he did something right because he actually got a pretty good grade.
Yeah.
I just for him and his standards and what he's done in the past, he surprised me almost at every pick that he took.
Yeah, same. I got to agree, man. I have high standards for him. That's why.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that he's not going to, because great managers.
Yeah. I'm not deeming him a loser.
No, exactly. But I just felt like for what he normally drafts, I'm surprised by the makeup of his team.
Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't have said any better. All right, cool. Let's jump in right into Nelson. He had Brady, Godwin, Diggs, Kamara, Ingram, Devontae Parker, and then his
Evan bench. Ingram, right?
Yeah, Evan Ingram, yeah.
Dang, he has both. Okay.
Yeah. Then he has Edelman, OJ Howard, Carlos Hyde, Jimmy G, Larry Fitz, Robbie Anderson, Pittman, Zane Gonzalez, and the Patriots defense.
Okay. Before you go, three names, three different guys that you can pretty much guarantee they'll be on their team. Nelson will always have Larry Fitz, and he's going to try to trade him to you after week one. Apex always has Jameson Crowder. And Will always has Chris Carson.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, no, I'm actually very surprised by the way Nelson drafted this team. Mm-hmm. I love Alvin Kamara Ingram. That's a great 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. I love Chris Godwin. I was a little surprised. He could have not gone ahead and drafted Diggs and had Devontae Parker's as two and still would have been straight. If he would have got another running back there, I would have loved it. He would have killed this draft for me. He did that, but kind of let me down with that Diggs pick. I don't hate Diggs. Again, it comes off like I hate the Buffalo Bills players, and it's not that. I just don't think Buffalo Bill players are fantasy players. Like, they're very good players, and the Buffalo Bills are a great team.
So disrespectful, yo.
They focus on winning, man. They want to win games. They're going to win the AFC East. Don't get it wrong, but they're not going to win.
He's going to call us a scrappy team next. That's it.
Yeah, they're not going to win you fantasy football championships. I'm sorry. I'll be the first to admit it.
Nah, yeah, I'm going to say it right here. If you drafted a Bills player, you will be rewarded because you heard it from me.
That's like me saying if you drafted Washington players, you will be rewarded.
Yo, chill.
Unless you drafted Terry McLaurin. All right, cool. You got anything else to say about Nelson?
I do have something I want to say about this. Go ahead. And Tom Brady, I want you to tell me if you notice a theme here, okay?
Yeah, he has Tom, Buccaneers.
Tom Brady. No, check it out. So Tom Brady, we have Julian Edelman, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Patriots defense.
Yeah. He's a Patriots fan, guys.
You just because you're a Patriots fan doesn't mean you have to pick their players, especially Julian Edelman.
If they help you sleep better at night, then that's fine. Yeah.
And I will say, before we go on to the next, that pleasantly surprised. I know that he's a busy guy and he's still putting some work. And
I got to give him props.
Yeah,
Nelson, if you are watching this, pat yourself on the back because as the years get better, and obviously every fantasy manager is going to get better in the league as well. I think you're definitely stepping it up. Yeah. And I'm excited to see what you do this season. You're actually competition.
Damn.
Cool. Let's jump in right into Will's team. I mean, Will's team.
Okay.
I love the makeup of Will's team. Pick. Yeah, number one pick. So obviously you got CMC. Mm-hmm. He has Stafford, who was somebody I was looking at if I was gonna keep waiting if I didn't take once. Mm-hmm. DJ Chark gonna be down a lot in games. McLaurin, again, he got two guys that are gonna be having to throw the ball a lot in their offenses. Then he got probably my favorite running backs, James Conner and Carson, who were guys I was always taking. I
love them.
Waller. I'm kind of off of Waller this year.
I'm big on Waller.
For many reasons, I'm off of him. I just feel like they're gonna feed the ball to Josh Jacobs, and they got a lot to do with Jason Witten be there. If Witten wasn't there, I'd be a little bit higher on Waller.
I'm not worried about him.
He's just a pain. Jason Witten, if you're watching this, which you probably aren't, or if you're listening to this, just retire, bro. Go call games again, man. Get out
of
here.
Or go coach.
Yeah, go be a tight ends coach. You should be the tight ends coach for that team, not a tight end on the team.
Facts. Because
he got Joe Burrow, Kerryon Johnson, AJ Green, Marvin Jones, Deontay Johnson, Malcolm Brown, Reggie Bonafon. That sounds like a boxer's name. Bonafon. Robbie Gold and Kansas City's defense. I like Will's team, man, a lot. I love his running backs, man.
I love DJ Chark. The fact that he has McCaffrey, Connor, Carson, and still got Chark, I felt like every time I mocked, if I had three stud running backs like that and a wide receiver like a Chark and sprinkling McLaren and then Waller, I feel like he did a great
highway
job.
Highway robberies.
It didn't really make any sense as to why he picked so many Detroit players, because Detroit's not necessarily known to be an offensive powerhouse, but I will say this. Kerryon Johnson is the starter there. So where he got him, I understand why Kerryon is on this team. And Matthew Stafford, he's a pretty good quarterback for fantasy, I would say.
Yeah.
Last year before he got hurt, what was it?
He was a top five quarterback before he got hurt last year.
I remember that. So
yeah. I like him. I got his wide receiver.
It makes sense for him to have Marvin Jones on the bench too. I personally wouldn't have Marvin Jones, but that's because I've always been jaded by Marvin Jones. But I can see why he made up this team this way. And you can tell, well, Billy, you put work in, man. I like this team.
Yep. We're gonna go right into London's team. Besides my team, so now, this is probably one of my favorite teams. Just based on overall round, like I think he hits every single mark on every single position.
Without looking at where he drafted these players, if you look at this team, first shot, the starters automatically jump off the page.
Yep. Again, I think him and me have similar built teams where our starters are elite and our bench has a little bit more to ask for, but I think we're just relying on starters.
Mm-hmm.
Being taken tight ends early like we both did. He took Kittle. I love Cook Sanders 1-2 punch. If they can both stay healthy, that's a home run. Kyler Murray, who everybody's super hyped about, who's potentially, they're saying, could have Lamar Jackson here in a second year, breakout, win MVP, all of that stuff.
I'm big on Kyler.
AJ Brown, who's super efficient. DK Metcalf, who's just a beast on the field. And then Marquise Brown, who I know P was targeting, man. I think he has a very well-rounded team, man.
It was heartbreaking. Yo, there might be a trade there. Yo.
Holla at me.
I might have a trade for you, bro. Cool. I'm going to send you my kicker.
Don't give up your kicker.
I'm going to be honest. No, I can't even joke around. I had to stop because I'm like, no, I'm not giving up my kicker.
Cool. All right, let's go right into Show Me.
Let's go.
You can go and dissect this.
Show me your teeth, though. Okay, got it. Okay, so Show Me here. He's got Russell Wilson, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Saquon Barkley. So when I tell you that right there, you're like, yo, that's a dope team.
And then it falls off the bridge.
Then you go Jordan Howard, Zach Ertz, dope team. Tyler Boyd is your flex. Sony Michel, Duke Johnson, Tariq Cohen, Cam Newton, who I love as where he picked them. Darius Slayton, TJ Hockenson, Mike Williams, Matt Gay, the kicker for New Orleans, and another kicker for Tampa, and the New Orleans defense. It was like a movie that started off amazingly, and then the movie it was like watching Suicide Squad. Remember when that movie came out?
Yeah.
It was that's what reading this team felt like.
Yeah, I think he has really good receivers.
I like his tight end. I like Saquon. I like Cooper. I like Jones. And I like Wilson, and that's going to be a really good core for him.
Yeah, I just, again, it's a issue with me with people with just sketchy RB2s.
Yeah.
Like
Jordan Howard.
They're not going to be running the ball that much because they're going to be losing. But hopefully they win some games.
They got to play the Bills twice, the Patriots twice. I mean.
They'll be up against the Jets twice. So.
Yeah, but still, man. Who are they playing? They're playing – okay, so the AFC East is playing the NFC West. So they have to play the Cardinals. They have to play the Seahawks, the Niners. I mean, nah. Nah. No offense, but nah.
Let's finish with my team real quick.
Let's go.
You want to go ahead and dissect? I've already dissected my team 20 times.
I will say that we saved the best draft grade, according to...
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that, guys. Yeah,
so I'm going to let you flex a little bit after this.
I mean...
I'm going to let you...
I mean, not a shocker to me. when you prepare for 5 months,
I'm gonna let you flex.
I was, it was cool to win best draft, but I wasn't like, oh yeah, like yeah, I'm expecting it. Like I'm expecting to make the playoffs. Like I'm expecting to compete for a championship. This wasn't the way I was expecting to build my team. I'm gonna be completely honest, and P will be the first person to tell you this. But the way these cards fell to me, I was like, yep, I'll take all of these.
No, it's a lot of balance. So Carson Wentz, Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Mark Andrews, J.K. Dobbins, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Dillon, Jalen Reagor, Benny Snell, Jerick McKinnon, Ben Roethlisberger, Chase Claypool, Harrison Butker, and the Indianapolis Colts defense week one. I like this team a lot. I think that the Dobbins one, I totally understand why people are maybe giving you maybe why John is giving you a little bit of slack for it. But
yeah, I understand it too. But again, I don't have him as my RB2 like he has Jonathan Taylor.
The Ravens, they could be up by 30 points by halftime. Ingram probably won't touch the ball the second half. I can see J.K. Dobbins at least having 5 to 10 touches the first week. And in the Ravens offense, 5 to 10 touches for a running back is prime. So maybe not for a flex, but we'll see. We don't know yet. No one knows what's going to happen, but I like J.K. Dobbins. And then you have a guy like Deebo who might be playing week one, right?
Yeah, if I could pop him into my flex, I would not be mad at that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then you also set your core up so that you can make those moves. This is where a manager really like gets to, you know, get to work, right? But I think this is worthy of a best draft.
Literally, I can go into and not to toot my own horn, but when I'm looking at my lineup, I don't have to doubt who I'm going to start. I know who I'm starting every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even blinking an eye. Maybe I can question my flex, but besides that, I'm not changing my kicker and I'm not changing none of my starters. They're always going to be there.
I like Big Ben on the bench. I'm a big Ben fan. I like Jalen Reagor and Carson Wentz. If that ever turns into anything, you plug in Reagor in your flex and you don't even look like away. You just keep plugging that team away. Mark Andrews is a solid, and I think you got him in the fourth round, it was?
Yeah, end of the fourth round.
It's solid. And Aaron Jones, the fact that you can get Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, something that's really overlooked both of these guys, if you notice, these are LaFleur guys. These are guys that are going to get volume. They're going to get a lot of touches. Henry's not going to get catches, but who needs him when you're getting 600 carries a game? And the whole offense is predicated on the play action and Derrick Henry. So I just feel like Kenny Galladay with Allen Robinson, I don't think in any scenario you would ever think that you can get both of those guys on the same team.
When you already have Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones.
Exactly. Mark Andrews.
yeah. And you took a tight end, fourth round.
Yeah. So, if anything, I can see you maybe running back-wise if you set yourself up for like – yeah, but maybe there's a move or maybe something. But I don't really think you can hurt too much at running back when you have Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones. Like, who gives a shit who your flex is? Leave it empty.
Yeah. Facts. But, yeah, anything else before we wrap it up, man? I think that was perfect.
No, I do have something that I want to end it with because I do want to shout out the people from our Lights Out Fantasy League. I know that it was a lot of fun this year, and we've ramped it up with the trash talk this year. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know you too, Rye.
Yeah.
So far, I think that starting with our draft, I hope you enjoyed the recap that we gave you. We do have one thing, Rye, that just popped up on our chat that I wanted to make official. I'm not sure if the terms have been agreed on, but there are rumors of a bet in our chat right now. And the bet that I was told is Pooty's Courtland Sutton will outscore Cooper Kupp, Gallup, and Ridley individually. So Courtland Sutton's going to score more than Cooper Kupp. Courtland Sutton's going to score more than Gallup and so on and so forth with Ridley. And that's, I believe that's John's team, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I'm hearing the bet is. Anybody that's out there that's listening, that's watching, what do you think? Let us know who you think wins this bet. What do you think, Rye?
I mean, John has good odds, man. He got three guys against one.
Always go with the odds, right?
If I'm looking at odds, man, I'm picking him.
And we're talking about fantasy points, right?
Yeah. overall fantasy points. I like Sutton, but it's too many mouths to feed in Denver, honestly. I don't think he outscores. He can outscore some of them, but not all of them.
No, I mean,
he should have done a one-to-one bet. Like, all of them is a little it's a little ballsy.
But you have to, like, I like the confidence, right? I believe in my player that much that I'm willing to lose
some money for it.
I can't control. Yeah, I can't with Pootie, man. Pootie, you got to stop, bro. Anyway, Rye, you have anything else before we wrap up?
Nah, man. Thank you guys for listening to this. Obviously, this is for our personal fantasy football league. So if you enjoyed any of this, man, we appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe for the full season. We'll be recapping some of it. And again, we'll be giving some guys to look forward to week, giving some advice here and there. If you ever have any questions, you can make sure you reach out to us at our IGs or shoot us an email. Any video ideas, as always, make sure you shoot us, or any podcast ideas, make sure you let us know. Wherever you're listening or watching to this, make sure you subscribe. And that's it, man. What you got, Juan?
Yeah, so also, if you have any questions, any lineup tips, maybe you want to inquire about premium content, because we probably have that too, shoot us an email at thefantasystandardtfs@gmail.com. That's thefantasystandardtfs@gmail.com. Hit us up, and we'll make sure to get back to you. On that note, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Peace out, guys.